بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, towards the end of the 15th juz in Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us through the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Khadir alayhi salam. Nabi Musa is a well-known famous Nabi of Allah, part of the Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul, the very high-ranking Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Khadir alayhi salam, there is difference of opinion. Some say he was a Nabi, others say he was a pious person, a friend of Allah. The incident is lengthy. Musa alayhi salam is asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that who is the most knowledgeable person in the world. So he answers sincerely because he is the Nabi of the time. So he says, oh Allah, I am the most knowledgeable person who is alive currently. So Allah wishes to show him that وَفُوقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. There will always be someone more knowledgeable or someone who has a different type of knowledge than you. So Allah tells him that go to a certain place and you will meet this slave of mine, or this friend of mine, and he has more knowledge than you in certain matters. So Musa alayhi salam sets off with an attendant of his. Entire journey is mentioned. Eventually they meet Khadir. And Musa alayhi salam asks him, هَلْ أَتَّبِعُكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُعَلِّمَنِ مِمَّا عُلِّمْتَ رُشْدًا. Do you give me permission to join you on your journey, and you can teach me from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught you? So he says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا وَكَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى مَا لَمْ تُحِتْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. Khadir tells him that you won't be able to have patience with me, and you won't be able to accompany me without questioning my decisions, because you have no knowledge of what I know. So Musa alayhi salam promises him, they agree on this condition, that I won't question you, and they set off. So three incidents that take place, quickly we'll mention them. Firstly, they board a ship or a boat, and this is taking them to their destination. And as they reach their destination, Khadir very stealthily makes a small hole in this boat. Not enough to completely sink it, but enough to significantly damage this boat. So Musa alayhi salam immediately asked him, أَخَرَقْتَهَا لِتُغْرِقَ أَهْلَهَا. That you are doing this, you are going to cause harm to the people, you may drown them, and yet they have allowed us to join them on their journey. So why are you doing this? Khadir reminds him that I told you you won't have patience, you were not supposed to question me. So they set off. The second incident takes place. They come across a group of young children who are playing. So Khadir sees a young boy from amongst them. He grabs hold of him and he twists his neck in such a way that this boy loses his life. He passes away. Again, Musa alayhi salam is shocked. He asks him, what are you doing? The same answer he gives him, that you weren't supposed to question me. So he says, okay, give me one last chance. So the third incident then takes place. It is close to nightfall and they reach a village and they ask the people to host them, to give them some food. فَأَبَوْ أَيُّضَيِّفُهُمَا. These people completely refuse. They give them a cold shoulder. So as they are leaving this village, they see a property whose boundary wall is about to fall down. So Khadir goes ahead and repairs this boundary wall. So Musa alayhi salam questions him that these people gave us such a cold shoulder, and here you are doing something for free. If you wished, you could have made a deal with them, you could have bargained with them that we'll fix this particular wall for you and you host us for the night. So Khadir says to him that now this is the third time you have questioned me, and هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنِكُ. We now have to part ways, but let me inform you of the hidden wisdom behind these actions. So he then informs him that the first incident that took place, that boat which I had damaged, we were about to, or rather that boat was about to pass by a certain place where there was a tyrannical ruler. And this ruler, whenever anybody's boats would pass by, and he fancied that boat, or it was a nice vessel, then he would command his soldiers to go and take this particular boat, this particular vessel, and he would add it to the royal fleet. And like this, the owners would then lose that which they worked hard for. So I decided to damage it to some extent, so that when they pass by that place, the king will see it, and he won't particularly take a liking to it, and in this way they will be able to keep this boat of theirs. So this was the reason, this was the wisdom behind it. As far as the second incident is concerned, that young boy whose life I took, so he says his parents were mu'mineen. They were people who had iman, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knew that this boy, if he had to grow up, then in his taqdeer it was that he would be a very disobedient child. And not just disobedient, but he would have eventually caused his parents to leave the fold of Islam because of his actions and his behavior. Therefore Allah decided that his life must be taken. In this way he is saved also. He leaves this world as a ma'asum child, and his parents' iman is also saved. And although it may be difficult for them now, but eventually in the akhirat they will see the benefit of this. And then the third incident, he says, as far as that wall was concerned, The property belonged to two orphans in that city. They were at a young age, and beneath this particular wall was a treasure that was buried, which belonged to them. If the wall had to collapse, the treasure would have been exposed, and because of the young age, they didn't have the ability to take care of it. The executors of that particular estate were not pious people, and they would have usurped this wealth. So Allah decided to command me to fix this wall so that the treasure is preserved and these children can grow up. When they are at the right age, then Allah will expose it and give it to them. So in these three incidents, Musa alayhi salam is being taught a lesson, and we are also being taught a lesson. That many a times we may find certain decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, certain things taking place in the world. We find natural disasters, or we find somebody meets into an accident, a person is, he loses a limb, or he is disfigured, a small child is born with some deformity, some disease. We find natural disasters, innocent people are losing their lives, and naturally that question will come into the heart, into the mind, that how, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do this? So from here we can understand that insan only sees that which is outer, that which is the apparent. We cannot understand the hidden kindness, the hidden wisdom, the hidden benefit behind the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mashayikh have given an example, a small child who has fever. So this child is, the body is paining, the eyes are tearing, the nose is running. The child doesn't feel like eating, drinking, and now the parent wants to come and give medicine to the child. When the child tastes that medicine, he can't understand that I am sick, my body is paining. This should be the time where I receive sweets and chocolates. But now my mother, my father, they're giving me this medicine which is tasting so bad. Where is the benefit? What's the point of this? But will anybody say that the parent is a nasty parent, a cruel parent? Rather, we'll say the parent is a kind parent, wants what's best for the child. So in the same way, sometimes outwardly a situation seems bitter, it seems as though there is harm, or there's no benefit for the person in it. But behind every decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is benefit, there is kindness. Sometimes a person meets into an accident, he breaks his leg, he breaks his hand, he can't walk for so many days, so many weeks, whatever it may be. And a person thinks, where can there be goodness in this? But sometimes, ulama explain, sometimes in that pain that a person is going through, one time he'll just say, Ya Allah. He'll take Allah's name, with trust, with reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one Allah that he takes could be the sabab for his salvation in the akhirah. And the person sees the reward of this, he'll wish he met into that accident earlier. Allah protect us, we don't ask, we ask for afiyat. But there is always benefit, always wisdom in the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, the incident of Dhul Qarnayn is mentioned. Dhul Qarnayn was a king prior to the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he had a very vast empire, very powerful king. Some Mufassirin have tried to link Dhul Qarnayn to a king who lived prior to the time of Isa alayhi salam, around 300 years before the coming of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. We may have heard his name. He was known as Alexander the Great. So he ruled over what was then known as Macedonia. In today's map, the northern areas of Greece. And the link between the two is that he was also a very powerful king. He had a very vast empire. But the correct or the more appropriate view is that Dhul Qarnayn was not Alexander the Great. He was not a Muslim. He didn't have iman. And Dhul Qarnayn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his iman, his trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever he was, whichever time he lived, Allah takes us through a few of his journeys as he travels throughout his kingdom. And here another lesson for people of authority, people who have been given some position or status over others, is that he had his eyes on what was happening on the ground. He did not just sit in his palace and wait for information to come to him, but he was in touch with the reality, with what was happening. So he travels through his kingdom to see what is going on. And a few incidents take place. The third one which is mentioned, the last one which is mentioned here, إِذَا بَلَغَ بَيْنَ السَّدَّيْنِ. During one of his journeys, he reaches a place between two mountains. وَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمَا قَوْمًا لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا. And here he comes across a group of people who can barely understand his language. From this we understand that he must have traveled quite a distance away from where he was based. The language is different. Nevertheless, after much difficulty, perhaps using indications, gestures, they communicate with him and they say that, O Dhul Qarnayn, إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. That we have this nation of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, and they are causing havoc in the land. And Mufassirin explained that different ifsad or different havoc that they were causing in the land, perhaps they were killing people. One view is mentioned that they akala luhum an-nas, that they had cannibalistic tendencies. They would kidnap people and then consume the flesh of those people. Whatever it was that they were doing, but they were causing complete havoc and corruption in the land. So they say, فَهَلْ نَجْعَلُ لَكَ خَرْجًا, that, oh, ذُلْقَرْنَيْن, can we pay you, we'll give you something, and you can then assist us to build a barrier or a wall between us and them. We can then confine them to this mountain pass, and we won't have to worry about them anymore. So ذُلْقَرْنَيْن replies to them, that مَا مَكَّنِّي فِيهِ رَبِّي خَيْرٍ, that I do not need your funds, or I do not need a payment from you, but rather فَأَعِينُونِي بِقُوَّةٍ, you can assist me, you can help me physically. And again, another lesson for people who Allah has blessed with some bounty, with wealth, is that at times we may not need assistance from others. But never ever make anybody else feel small, as though he is not worthy or he can't give you any help. Here, although he didn't need any assistance from them, he had the entire population at his disposal, yet still he says to them, I may not need financial assistance from you, but you can help me physically. There is something. So he empowers them. He makes them feel as though they are worthy of something. The incident has been mentioned, that pious person. So one day he says to his child that, go next door and ask the neighbor if they can lend us some salt. So the child asks the mother that we have enough salt in the house. What is the reason for this? Why are you sending me next door? So the mother replies that, see, our neighbors are people who are living in poverty. And there may be times where they need to ask us for something, for some help, for some items. But if we don't ask them, they will feel hard. And they won't take the courage to come and ask us. So rather I felt we ask them for salt, something that everybody will have, something that doesn't cost much. In this way they will feel as though we ask them for a favor. So they will also then feel it easier to ask us for a favor. So in this way, without making a person feel bad, but we empower somebody. So he then takes physical assistance from them, and he builds this barrier which confines Ya'juj and Ma'juj to this mountain pass. And then he says, فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى, when the promise of Allah comes, this barrier or this wall which I have built will be leveled to the ground, and Ya'juj and Ma'juj will then emerge from there. And the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains exactly what will take place and what they will do in the land. But one point for us to take note of here: one occasion Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emerged from his home with a very worried look on his face. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum were concerned what has happened. And then he addresses them and says, وَيْلٌ لِلْعَرَبِ مِنْ شَرٍ قَدْ اِقْتَرَبْ, that woe be, destruction be to the Arabs of a danger which is impending, which is about to come. Something harmful which is going to happen to them. And then he explains what is this, that فُتِحَ الْيَوْمِ مِنْ رَدْمِ يَأْجُوج وَمَأْجُوج مِثْلُ هَذَا, that a small hole has been opened up in the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. In other words, their emergence will not be very far from now. So this was in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look at the response of Sahaba. If it was you and I, we would have asked, where are they? How far away are they? And when will that wall be opened up? When will they emerge? How do we identify them? But look at the concern, the worry of Sahaba. أَنَهْلِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ, that what will be the condition of our iman? Will our iman be intact or not? So will we be destroyed? Will Allah destroy us? And will Allah cause our iman to go away if there are righteous people amongst us? Sahaba asked this question. And of course, they would have thought that the emergence would have been soon, perhaps while Nabi alayhi salam was still alive, or very shortly thereafter. So they say, will we be destroyed whilst we have righteous, pious people amongst us? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Naam. That yes, the presence of pious people amongst you will not stop the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثِ, if evil, if sin becomes rife. So this is a great lesson we can take, yardstick for us, is that even though there may be pious people amongst us, those who are devoted to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when those people will confine themselves to their own ibadat, they will be happy with their own masjid, their own salah, their own tilawat, their own zakat, and we will not be concerned about the ills that are taking place, the evils that are happening around us. And people breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in one house, the father is upon deen or the mother is upon deen. And we are not concerned about our children, what they are doing, or the other party, the other spouse, what they are doing. So if we are just upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are not concerned about what's happening around us, then this will not stop the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when an effort is made to make nahi anil munkar, to stop people from doing wrong, of course, with wisdom, with mashwara, with guidance, then this will prevent the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from coming. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.